I'm going to call the order of the Kootenai Fire District Prudential Committee meeting December 16th, 2019. Could I have a roll call, please?
Mike Barone, Treasurer.
Lisa Mycock, Kelly, Prudential.
Fran Parks, Prudential.
Sylvia Janelle, Prudential.
Amy Cates is recording. Could we stand for the Pledge of Allegiance? Chairman Pisano is going to give us a report from the last fire commissioner's meeting.
I'd like to thank you this evening for inviting me to provide this information. At the December 10th meeting of the Kootenai Fire District Board of Fire Commissioners, there was a unanimous vote to approve the opening of a 13th position in the department. The purpose of this decision was to address three major concerns. The first concern, as we try to address the staff turnover in the department, it becomes apparent that we have trouble competing with much higher salaries, upwards of $20,000, offered by Comm and Hyannis in their recruiting. To give the chief greater flexibility in responding to high-value applicants when they occur, it was judged prudent to have a ready open slot at his disposal. The board retains oversight and approval, but this vehicle allows for quicker action. I should add that if this flexibility allows us to hire an experienced applicant, the department would save on the order of $30,000 in training costs for a new recruit, as was the case in one of our recent hirings. The second motivation was the current situation of multiple line-of-duty injuries, vacancies, has created potentially unsafe working conditions for the remaining staff related to high overtime demands to cover shifts. Going forward, the possibility of carrying a 13th member will give the department multiple options to cover temporary openings in a safer manner, as well as enhance daytime coverage of the station when the regular shift is out on calls, particularly during high-volume summer months. The third and probably most important item, the board is very conscious of our fiduciary responsibility to the district. We examine the cost of budgeting for IOD coverage every year as we construct our budget. The fact that we cannot know in advance what that need will be creates a situation where part of our planning must be based on guesswork and hope. In the prior two fiscal years, we benefited from very low to no significant IOD needs. In the current year, we had budgeted only $50,000 for that purpose. Unfortunately, this year we have encountered very high IOD costs, and it is likely to be a very close call whether we will need to call for a special district meeting to cover payroll, or whether we will be able to get to the regular annual meeting to request additional funds for the current year. In light of the numbers involved, the opening of a 13th position could, if filled, result in savings to the district. The comparison of salary cost versus overtime cost could result in a potential $10,000 savings in our predicted overage. In subsequent fiscal years, if we are able to carry a filled 13th position, we would be able to use more conservative projections of the need for overtime coverage costs related to potential IOD situations. And I refer you to the audio minutes of the meeting if you want to listen to the full discussion that ensued around that. I'd be happy to try to answer any questions.
How many, is it still three positions that, how many positions?
We have three firefighters out on IOD right now, and we're still trying to grapple with projections about when the first will be able to return to duty, hopefully. That will be in January, and the other two are still questionable.
Questions? Just a comment. I completely understand your overtime situation. I think every fire department in the area is dealing with the same situation, and more so smaller communities like ours. You know, we basically become training grounds, and they leave for a bigger department. So anything you can do, from my point of view, anything you can do to lower your overtime costs, even if that involves hiring a new person full-time, which is sounds like a no-brainer, I'd be completely for.
I appreciate that. We have been fortunate enough to have two new hires recently, so that counting the three on IOD, we're carrying 12 personnel. We did have a member resign to go for a higher salary position in another district recently. If we have the option of capturing a highly qualified candidate that comes along before we know the resolution of the situation with the three firefighters that are out, it would be, I believe, very beneficial for the district.
So even if the three firefighters come back that are out, are you still going to go ahead with the 13th position?
I'd like to carry it as open and try to fill it. I believe that even if all three were to be able to return to full-time duty, that based on our experience over the last 5 years with trying to project IOD costs and the variability, which has run from close to zero to $250,000, has been very difficult, and I think it would introduce a significant degree of budgetary stability.
Great.
Just one more thing. So based on your timing, you're trying to get a new position now before the annual meeting due to the situation that we're in right now.
Right.
But you mentioned that somebody just resigned. So has that opening been taken into account, basically saying whatever is left from that appropriated position, could that be used to fund a new person if they come in? Or are you trying to fill that position and then a new position on top of that?
We would be trying to do both.
Both, okay.
And the 13th position would be drawn from some of the money that was budgeted for the IOD overage, which we would be able to capture at base salary level rather than time and a half overtime.
Yeah. And like you explained, you're kind of close with the numbers, so you're trying to make it work.
Right.
Yeah.
But from time to time, even though our recruiting position isn't strong compared to our neighbors in terms of salary offerings, from time to time, because of the nature of the working environment, we do get highly qualified applicant put out a feeler or, float the balloon. And if we have the chief empowered to aggressively go after that without having to first bring it to the board, go through, we can lose people that way. To be able to capture a good candidate would be a real asset.
So you're trying to, obviously, like you mentioned, for cost-saving measures and also for operations-wise, it makes sense to try to hire somebody with experience already. But in the event that doesn't happen, you're still going to try to move forward with hiring a person, even if you have to train them?
I would not endorse using a 13th position hire a young, unqualified person that we would have to fund through the academy and fully train. But it would be nice to have that option there in case we get a good-looking candidate coming along. And that does happen from time to time. We hate to miss it.
Okay.
So I'm sorry. So we have the three employees who are out, and then we have a recently resigned employee. So we actually have one open position now that hasn't been filled by either the two new hires.
We were able to fill.
Okay.
We have nine staff and three staff out on IOD.
Great. Thank you very much. Appreciate you coming. Okay. Is there any public comment?
Cynthia Gardner, 94 School Street. I just want to go on the record. I'm not against what the fire department is proposing. I just don't understand how you feel as the Prudential Committee and the three fire commissioners, how you can encumber the district another position without going to a district meeting. I don't think it's in our bylaws that can be done. Thank you.
I gave you a couple of pages. It's a little bit early to take a look at November. We're a week earlier than usual, and I'll start off by saying that We got one bank statement that just came in today and the ambulance statement, so we haven't finished all the things that we try to get done before we talk about these numbers, but I think we're on fairly solid ground. As we look at the revenue, taxes are up about 18% over last year, well ahead at 47% of our target at this time of the year of 42%. I would have to say that's not generosity on the part of taxpayers, but more efficiency in the town office. They've had a change in staffing there, and things are getting done a little more expeditiously. So I think we're the benefit of that. In the water department, the overall revenue is up 42% versus the 44% versus the 42%. The only thing is I point out that the water rates and meter is a little weak. We're benefiting from antenna revenue again. So that's something we're going to have to watch. We have counted on some of that additional revenue from their price increase, and so far it, at least it's not coming to fruition. Although, to be clear, the real impact on the rates will come later in the year and into next year. Fire department ambulance revenue is down slightly, about 6%, and that's in line with the number of runs that we have had so far this year. In the other area, we just had higher interest than we had budgeted, and again we have some more interest to come in from the PARS statement, which we didn't have time to reconcile and record. On the expenditure side, the Prudential at 53% is apparently higher than budget, but that takes into account the $157,000 one-time insurance premium. If you adjust for that, we're well in budget and on target. Fire department, comfortably on target. Water department, the same. Freedom Hall as well. And street lights. The library, we have $1,000 that was due at the end of November. It has since been paid. So we've fully met that obligation. Debt service, we only had one interest payment scheduled so far. We'll have a much bigger hit in December and then the longer-term debt later in the winter. Benefits, again, looks like it's well over budget, but again, we had a $322,000 retirement payment that we pay at the beginning of the year. Taking that into account, we're well within budget. And transfers are running on schedule. We just have the last one to do with the stabilization that was voted in the last Prudential Committee meeting. Turning to projects, with the adjustments made in that November meeting, the rehab of engine number 263 is completed and is entered as completed just under the budget. Pump well treatment is being held for contingencies. The SAFE grant is ongoing. Replacing the roof is completed, again, with the addition of the transfer that we made in September. We completed that project well within the adjusted allocated amount. Air packs, right on budget. Fire station repairs is in process. We'll be assessing what the future needs are with the chief over the next few months to see if indeed we need to incur that full $100,000 debt. The Freedom Hall flooring is completed and came in under budget. Freedom Hall basement is pending. The water department pickup has been closed out. I didn't close them out. I didn't really have time to do that. I have to I'll make an adjustment for the 880 of expenditure this year. So there's just some bookkeeping to be done there, but that's closed out. Officially, the bookkeeping just has to catch up. And the water department security project and system is ongoing. The water tank balance, as I mentioned in the last meeting, is under review as I try to pull that apart. I have not made any progress with that yet, but we'll hopefully get that done over the next 2 months. So that we'll really the target for that would be the annual district meeting. So we'll try to get that in position for your consideration before then. We did have a successful bid on the $970,000 note that we sold in December. And the winner was Oppenheim. They came in at an effective 1.54%. They're using premiums, so again, it's good that we passed that premium resolution. Gives us the flexibility to use those premium monies as we see fit. Apparently now we're playing up with the big boys because we're drawing the people like Oppenheimer and rather than just our usual folks and friends at Cape Cod 5. We have, as we discussed, I think it was two meetings ago, we were proceeding with your approval on moving the VADAR system to the cloud for enhanced security and recovery. We have a new contract. We've reviewed it internally, both the assistant treasurer and myself, and then we passed it to legal review, and there's really only one item pending, and that is Mark recommended that we get a greater period to cure a breach, and I've posed that to the vendor, and we're waiting for their response back. It's due at the end of December. I would just... if you are willing, with your approval, we can put that up for your signature before the end of the month once we get that response back. I don't think it's really critical on that time to cure. I think we could work within the 10 days. It's always nice to have a few more days. But if with your approval, we will proceed with signing that agreement and then start the work to move that to the cloud. Any questions or comments on that?
I do have some questions.
Yes, sir.
So on the bid for the bond anticipation notes, if you can help me understand a little bit. So Oppenheimer won the bid because they had the highest rate?
Because they have the lowest rate, which they achieved through premium. They have a coupon rate of 2%, but then they give you some extra money, which lowers the – they give you more money than you asked for, which lowers the effective rate to the 1.54. And we have passed a resolution that allows us to use that either on the project or for debt.
So the net interest cost, obviously, is the column that we should be looking at.
Yeah, the effective column, and then you can...
Because that would
you
be
can,
our debt service.
Yeah, basically. Exactly, yes.
Okay. Just wanted to confirm that.
No, that's fine.
I
should have made that clear that it was the premium got you to the effective column, which was the one that really counts.
Sorry, I wanted... The whole point was for me to have it on the record, and then I didn't even have my mic close to me. So, yeah, but thank you for explaining that. I appreciate it.
Okay.
So, do you want a motion giving you the authority to sign the VADAR contract?
Can I just ask a question on that?
Sure.
Under the software training, there's a $1,400 incremental cost to go to the cloud. So I guess I'm just a little bit confused as to, is that for training or?
No, that's for the license to use the cloud. There's really no incremental training required or involved. It would be, if you, as we used to say, it'll be transparent to the user. You would sit down at
When it comes to the cloud, there's nothing transparent. Sorry.
Well, in this case, the application becomes transparent. Yeah. As you sit at your computer, whether it was on one of our PCs or in the cloud, it would appear the same. Your actions would be the same. So there's no additional training required for that. The benefits that we get are added security from what we're doing now. And also, the big thing is the recovery. If something goes wrong, they're there to help us reestablish our financial records.
I just read in the newspaper of I think it's Pensacola, was just hacked.
Yeah.
You know. Yeah. So they're using pencil and papers to do their business now.
That's what you'd be down to. And you know, when you start talking about doing payroll, which is the time critical issue, it would be a challenge.
Yeah. One more question. Topic number two in regards to the VADAR, it talks about software training under paragraph 3 is billed according to a schedule on attachment A. There's no attachment A. Has this been discussed? And the answer is $1,400 incremental cost to go to the cloud.
I have a schedule A, and basically what schedule A does is simply add the $1,400 to our additional contract with the annual license payments that we're involved. We're on a six-year payment plan for the acquisition of the license to use VADAR.
So that $1,400 would be six payments or a one-time fee?
It'll be an annual payment of $1,400
every
year.
Oh, okay, so just for the cost of getting on the. Okay, yeah. That makes sense. I have other software works the same.
Yeah.
Once you go to the cloud, yeah, you have to, because what you're doing with that is not only paying the hosting
storage
have your information. Exactly. Yeah. Your information. That makes sense to me.
Yeah.
Okay. And more importantly, insurance.
Insurance, exactly.
Yep.
Exactly.
Yep. Yeah. And you were saying it's key in the case you get hacked or something, you can pull your information back.
Yeah.
I mean, City of New Bedford just went through that big city, and they're having problems, but, you know, it's good to have in the club in a couple of days.
Yes.
Yeah, that's
exactly.
Very important.
Exactly. So if we could, a motion to...
Yeah, I'll make a motion that we approve the contract with VADAR for cloud storage services. Second?
So moved, sorry. And then second.
So moved.
Yeah,
sorry. All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Thank you.
Freedom Hall. Our front door stopped working.
Or I noticed during our policy advisory committee meeting.
After 3 hours this morning, it is fixed.
Yay!
What's the automatic.
No, with the exception of Chairman Pisano, you couldn't lock down the crash bar. So
that's right.
That particular part had to be replaced. So now everybody can lock down the crash bar.
Thank you.
So, and other than that, everything at the hall seems fine. We have some minutes. Did everybody get a chance to read those?
I didn't get them. I don't have an email. I went online to see if they're on their website.
Okay. I'll send them again.
Yeah. You
just told on that. So, any other topics anybody has?
I do have one.
Okay.
Just an update on the Policy Advisory Committee. We met, I'll tell you when. Sorry about that. Should have had that info at the palm of my hand. We met a couple of weeks ago, and everybody but one of the members were able to attend. We elected officials. I'm the chairperson. Tom Hoppestad is the clerk, and Amze is the vice chair. Cynthia Gardner is part of the committee as well. She was in attendance, and then Jackie Mastro wasn't able to attend. But we have another meeting scheduled for January. There was a lot of good conversations. There was basically a discussion on talking about what we call low-hanging fruit and policies for things that could have an immediate impact, and then talking about long-term planning in having policies for creation of capital plans and just an idea of what was basically almost like a manifesto for the district. What do we see ourselves 5, 10, 15, 20 years? So, yeah, I think there's a lot of work ahead of us, and we're trying to hopefully come up with some concrete policies to bring to all the boards before the annual meeting. I think it's a good group. It's a good group.
Okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. So, Madam Chairman, one other thing, just a notice. I received a notice that we will be having a USDA compliance review on January 9th. I don't think it will involve you. It will involve the Water Department as needed.
Terrific.
Yeah, I thought so too.
Yeah. One more thing, just so I can have it on the record. We met on December 4th, the Policy Advisory Committee. Our next meeting is January 7th. It'll be right here at Freedom Hall at 5:30 p.m.
Great. Thank you. Okay. I'm going to make a motion that the Prudential Committee go into executive session under Purpose 3 to discuss strategy with respect to collective bargaining or litigation if an open meeting may have a detrimental effect on the bargaining or litigation of a public body. The committee will not return to open session.
So moved.
Second.
It's a roll call vote to go into executive session.
Lisa Mycock Kelly votes to go into executive session.
Fran Parks, yes.
Sylvia Janow, yes.
Okay, thank you.